Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm guilty.
You're limping.
I know. I know. But,
okay.
Hey, Margaret, how are you?
Thanks for sharing a time.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. It's time for us to begin. I'd like to call this meeting to order, if you please. Please, please take your seats. And it sounds like... Okay, it does. Who is going to take the role?
Mark, are you Stephanie today?
Yes.
Mark, would you please take the role?
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
Astrid Bergson, Margaret White, Susan Fowler, Elaine Palencia,
here.
Tom Moore,
here.
Judy O'Connor,
here.
Julian Rappaport,
here.
Ann Robin, Deborah Townsend.
Here. Ann will be here. Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any citizen input today? All right, seeing none, we'll move ahead. Any additions to the agenda? Seeing none, I'll move ahead. Is someone prepared to?
I can do that. We don't have a.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like information for everybody about the CCDD board that met this morning at 8:30, I think.
At 8?
Eight o'clock, it's even worse.
Some of them got here even earlier than that. So they did meet this morning. Their business was fairly straightforward. It was largely parallel to this. They were presented with a draft three-year plan. Some of the changes in the three-year plans are quite similar, but the plans themselves diverted more last year than they had. So it's a little bit, those changes may be a little bit lighter than some of the ones in your three-year plan. They also have two new board members. One was present, both were introduced. There wasn't a lot of... Oh, the new board members are David Happ, who you might remember him from when we did the SILA expansion RFP. He was one of the evaluation committee members. And he also has been, he came to a DDB retreat. I'm not sure that you would have seen him at public hearings, but he's been fairly active as an advocate. And the other is Cheryl Hanley Maxwell, who is the new dean of the College of Applied Health Sciences at the U of I and an expert in transition services for youth, which is really good timing since all of the states are trying to get their heads around the new federal rules related to work readiness for people with disabilities. That was most of the business. They had a closed session parallel to yours today, and I think you'll get some information from one of them if you accept that during your closed session. Okay.
Thank you very much, Lynn. We have five sets of minutes to approve. What's an easy way to do it? Let's see. Could we have a consent agreement?
Take all five.
Yeah.
Sure. I make a motion that we enter into a consent agreement to accept the five minutes that we have from June the 22nd.
Maybe.
What's the matter, Lynn?
Well, Patsy is suggesting that maybe not. Is it?
What?
Why?
Omnibus motion?
Okay.
Omnibus motion? Okay. Thank you.
Start again?
That's not what I want to do. I want an omnibus motion. So I make an omnibus motion to accept these 5 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Elaine. Discussion? Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. The motion passes, and these five sets of minutes are approved. president's comments. Well, first of all, I would like to welcome Lynn Canfield, our new executive director. You know, she's already been in the stew now for a while. Oh, I wasn't going to say that. For a while. And actually, she's been with us 5 years, 4 years?
No, almost eight.
No.
Yes.
She's been with us for 8 years, so she knows the ropes. And she's hard at work on everything we can throw at her. Is that about accurate?
So far.
So far, so far. Well, we're very, very happy to have you in your new role. Thank you. Stephanie is not here this evening because her father is very ill. And so she went to Peoria to be with him. He's cranky, I'm told. So that's a good thing. He'll probably be okay. Soon, if he stays cranky. Okay, now, just one other thing. Some of us are kind of allergic to fragrances, like in perfume and what other things, cologne, shaving things, what, you know, body, you know what I'm talking about. I would ask you kindly if you would refrain from using those while we're in this meeting. So thank you very much. Acting Executive Director's comments. Lynn.
I promise I'm going to keep them even more brief than they were this morning because they weren't brief this morning. There's been a lot going on. A lot of it is just around our internal transition. Some of it is also around just getting from one board meeting to the next. So I think you all know what that kind of business looks like. But something that was very important to me is that 708 boards are, by statute, supposed to be involved with the state agencies as they do their policy setting and planning. And there are other ways that we're supposed to be involved with them. But we have, for the first time in the 7.7 years that I've been with the board, we've been invited to the table for some of that planning. And my goal on Monday, in my first visit to state level planning session, was to get invited back. So I was very polite, and I don't know yet if it was a success because I haven't been invited back yet, but I don't think I blew it. It was about the 1115 transformation waiver. There are no surprises in it. I think many of the people in the audience have a lot of expertise in what's going on with the 1115 waiver. The challenges to it are the same ones that we're quite used to hearing about. No money is coming in. We don't know how the money is going to come in. We don't know what the implementation timelines are for important pieces of it. It doesn't speak to DD specifically at all. So although it does have some intensive home services, they are not like respite for people with DDs. So it's not a perfect answer to some of the problems that the rest of us might see with waivers. And they have opted not to apply for a 1915K, which is a K plan, which can be really expensive. So even though they're taking advantage of some federal opportunities, and some of them are very promising, the details that are missing are sort of business as usual with Illinois. Like, we don't know where the money is going to come from for some of it, and quite a bit of the work that needs to be done is background, like revisions to Rule 132, which is the mental health services, and 2060, which is the substance use disorder services. Those things have to happen before the 1115 could be implemented. So it's a really uphill battle, and that's my update.
Thank you, Lynn. Do you have any pressing questions for Lynn? Okay, we'll go on then to staff reports. Mr. Driscoll.
Normally I would just take questions, but I did want to mention, and I'll have a little bit more detail in my October staff report, but a week ago I had the opportunity to go up to Rockford with Sheila Ferguson, Alan Jones, and Rick Snyder and visit Rose Krantz, their facilities up there. We actually visited the Ware Center, which is an outpatient facility, and you wouldn't know it to look at the building, or when you walk in to the lobby atrium area. It just is just an impressive looking building and an impressive looking reception area. It is a grocery store that's been converted to their outpatient facility. And I'd swear the atrium area is probably 200 feet by 50 feet and just very spacious and very welcoming. So we had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time there and tour the facility and meet with the director for outpatient services for substance abuse and then also for mental health. And then Phil Eaton, the executive director, was also there, and he actually spent the rest of the day with us. So it was very nice, but from there we went to the Mulberry House, I think it was called, and that is a triage center as well as a crisis stabilization detox facility. The triage portion is basically a 23-hour living room arrangement where a person can come in and actually police use it as a drop-off facility and come in and spend up to 23 hours there. And they're either at that point over the course of those 23 hours, they're assessed and they either are then released, but prior to release, their discharge, they are connected, they know who their case manager will be and when their next outpatient appointment will be. 60% of the people that come through the triage center are discharged within the 23 hours. The rest are either leaving on their own accord or are being checked into the crisis stabilization facility, which is a little longer, a short-term stay. The building itself is another building that's been repurposed, but is kind of has a great room approach where all the bedrooms are on the periphery of the building, and the triage center is at one end, nurses station, and then the crisis stabilization open area is at the other side. So that was an interesting visit. That in some respects, it reminded me in terms of the services that are available to what we saw in Peoria, although the layout of the building was certainly much different. And then from there, we went to a residential facility, which was pretty large, but it's divided up into a number of different pods, and each pod is 16 beds or less, and they have treatment for men 20 to 30, men older than 30, folks that have opiate or heroin addiction. There's a women's section. They also had a pod for veterans, and then another for firemen, and then or EMTs, medical trainers. It was an interesting day. It was a very full day, I will kind of summarize my comments here and include it in my staff report for the October meeting. So
good, that would be helpful. I was going to ask you if you have any materials that describe how they do it, what they do and how they do it.
We didn't actually get handouts on
I don't mean pamphlets or anything.
We didn't get any documentation like that. It was more of a tour and then just the meetings, the conversations that were held.
I guess we know how to get it if we want to. Thank you very much, Mark.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for the board. I make note of in the quarterly report section of my staff report about the performance outcome reports that have come in. And I'm just now getting about, well, actually, it'll be next week, I'll be reading through them. But I was wondering if the board in the October packet would like to see those in their entirety. I've done that in the past, and I don't, it's quite a bit of material, but before I include it, I just wanted to ask the board if they wanted to see them.
Do you want to see everything? I mean, you know, the long view.
Maybe you could remind us how, what's in, what would be in it.
Well, as part of their fourth quarter report, all the agencies are required to include what is described, a year-end report, a performance outcome report. And the format of that varies by program. It can vary from program to program within an agency. But it's intended to recap their work over the past year in relation to the outcome measures that they had identified at the start of the year as part of their application. Some programs do better than others in doing that. And as you all know, we have our program evaluation project going on with the U of I, which is going to, for one thing, standardize the format of these reports, but is also intended to work with agencies to strengthen their evaluation capacity. So, well, I don't know that I would be able to do that in the next 2.5 weeks. My approach would be is to include the report so that you can see what the agency's provided.
Well, what's your pleasure, Tom? Tom?
Mark, is it possible to kind of have those available in the office? Because if I get them 2 or 3 days before the meeting, and if I remember, they're pretty extensive, mm-hmm. whether or not I would get through them before the next meeting would be highly unlikely.
Yes, they you would be more than welcome to come in, and I'd be happy to have a set of the reports available for anybody that would like to come in.
For me, I can't speak for that. Might be more.
Sure, I think that would be helpful.
That'd be fine.
And a little table and chair, a place to work.
Sure. Sure.
Or big table.
We'll make you feel as welcome as possible, as well we can.
They are available online.
They're available electronically.
They're available electronically, and they're also available on the application site, but we download them. So
yes.
They are available to us electronically, and we could email them. That is, cool. If that's what.
We could discuss having access to them later. But mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and it would
be so overwhelming all at once that I won't be able to get
them. Could you just,
it wouldn't necessarily, you know, be something that you would have to digest and be prepared to discuss. It would just be for your information.
Yeah. Could you just send it to us all electronically?
Sure, I can look into that.
And let's let it go at that. And
sure.
Everybody can read all or some or whatever parts of it they would like to.
Okay.
Is that agreeable?
Very good.
Okay, very good.
May I ask Mark a question?
Quickly,
About your report, were you finished speaking
about
your report? I have one question about it.
Sure.
Thank you. There's a reference here to Rosecrans requesting an amendment to the Time Center contract.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that something that we need to approve, or is that something that's just done administratively because the funds are already there?
Traditionally, that has been an administrative, a staff administrative function, and we've reviewed it, we've discussed it. I've actually participated and had because it was the amendment did propose some changes to how the money will be used. I think it also, in terms of what they submitted to us, also foreshadows the possibility of some future discussions about how this money is used at Time Center. But it was also tied to being able to continue services for their level 2 transitional housing program at Time Center. And it was tied to decisions also being made by other local funders be it those being United Way, which also had a commitment to Time Center, and the City of Urbana slash Cunningham Township. I had conversations with Cunningham Township about their intention, or with the City of Urbana about their intentions. It went through their Community Development Commission and so forth, and then on to the City Council, I believe. And then I participate on the Community Impact Committee, where Sheila and Julie Cartel made a presentation to the Community Impact Committee, and the Community Impact Committee of those present had a recommendation. It was a consensus of those present to recommend to the United Way Board that they approve the request. So in terms of the changes that are being made, they will continue to do some outpatient services. They will continue to have a priority in terms of beds that are available, that become available through the Level 2 Transitional Housing Program. They will continue to, they will make criminal justice a priority for those beds. It is a change from what we've currently funded, the biggest change is it was previously for fee-for-service, and now it will be a grant. In terms of the actual services that we're providing, there is the change from being Level 1, which no longer exists there, where they were doing screenings in groups. The focus now turns to Level 2 and then doing outpatient services there related to substance abuse treatment and dual diagnosis, but again, with a priority to the placed on the criminal justice population.
Okay.
Thank
so,
you.
So I don't,
this.
I've rambled on, so I.
Yeah. So. I mean, I raise it simply because it means a change in what the purpose of the funds was for something else. And then, I mean, it would, and they were targeted toward a different population, right?
Well,
not the
people the
who
services
are, in...
are the services are still being provided at Time Center. The Level 1 transitional housing program closed. They reduced capacity in I think it was January or February, and then they closed Level 1, which they went from 50 beds down to 25 beds, right. And then eliminated the last 25 beds. What we were purchasing was screening, mental health, substance abuse, and criminogenic screens for people coming into the Level 1 program. The screens, they may still occur, but typically Level 2 are for people, Level 2 transitional housing is for people that are will stay a year to 2 years in the program at Time Center as they get themselves more established and eventually move on. So the screening won't occur. Then we were also funding groups at Time Center, MRT, moral recognition therapy, moral recognition forward thinking, some relapse prevention groups. So there will still be group activity that occurs at Time Center. It just is not going to be the Level 1 because that population doesn't exist there anymore. So yes, there is a change in.
So I guess the question I was raising for ourselves to consider is whether that's something we want to have a discussion about or think about, or do we just think it's fine to just go ahead and make the change administratively?
I just have a question. Who makes this determination that the funds can be used differently?
Well, traditionally, that has been an internal staff decision.
You and?
And Lynn.
Lynn,
yes.
Okay.
And I also spoke to Nancy.
Okay.
And then, as I said, this particular change also involved decisions by other funders, and that In some respects, the way this was presented was that if one of the funders, any one of the three funders did not proceed with this, it may jeopardize the level two transitional housing that that currently remains at Time Center. I don't know if I assume I'm fairly representing the proposal. Okay.
Well, Mike, I'm just raising the question as to whether or not we're comfortable with that way of making decisions about the use of funds. That's all. It makes me a little uncomfortable. I'm not saying I'm opposed to using it that way, but since we've never talked about it or thought about it, and we thought they were being used in a different way, it seems appropriate for us to at least notice this in some fashion.
Well, I will say that in the past, we have redirected funds by amendment on request of agencies between programs. Community Elements Rosecrans has done that on occasion. We did it last spring for a number of programs.
If
the board wants to change that policy, that's to the board's discretion.
I'd like to interrupt you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mark. Julian, you know, that's an issue that we can sure take up. We can put it on an agenda and prepare for it if you would like to do that. But I think now is not a great time to do it.
Because
we're not really prepared.
I want to hear what the other board members think about it. Does anybody have an opinion other than me?
Mark, I just have a question. If this is a whole different program, how do we evaluate that? Is the proposal rewritten?
Yes.
And it will be online?
Yes, they will be required to, they are required, and the amendment is in process. The amendment has not been executed. The amendment can be held. It has been sent to them, but when it comes back to us, back to the board, the president and executive director have to sign off on it to complete the execution of the amendment. As part of the amendment, Rosecrans is required to revise the proposal on the online system so that what they are reporting is based on the reconfigured program.
So do you guys consider this micromanaging for us to step into these decisions?
I would suggest that we go ahead and put it on the on another agenda, yes. Mainly because as you talk, it sounds complicated to me, and if it is a decision about money that we should be making, even if we decide not to change a policy, which is okay with me as well, I would just like to be able to hear it more clearly when I'm really paying attention to it. I have no problem with how you've done this, Mark, but maybe we ought to just have the discussion. We all know it, and then we can just decide about it from that point on. So I would prefer that we just put it on the agenda.
Ann? Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah, I admit to being a little bit confused by this discussion because I think we're talking about two different things at least. And I hear what you're saying, Julian, is more of a general thing of what do we do when an agency that we have funded for, let's say, fiscal year 2016, midstream reorganizes themselves and changes their function. How do we deal with that? And that seems like a big discussion that we should devote some time to that we cannot do right now. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Okay. So I would propose that we have that discussion. What is our board responsibility when an agency changes its organization and function in the middle of a funding cycle, especially as we're going to three-year cycles or longer cycles? How do we deal with that? And I think it would be helpful to have everybody agree as to how we're going to do that. But the immediate thing is we've got kind of a fait accompli with the Time Center that they have changed. And are we the third funding agency that has to say, okay, is that correct? There's other, United Way's already said okay?
I don't know what the, I know the recommendation from this Community Impact Committee was in favor. I don't know that the United Way Board has met
okay.
on that recommendation.
Okay.
I believe the city of Urbana has approved it, so.
Okay, so then there's where my confusion is, because we're being presented with this thing saying, okay, this has happened and we've already funded them. Do we need to even make a decision about this?
There's language in the contract, in the boilerplate of the contracts which allows for, and there are even special provisions in some contracts which we thought might be more sensitive to changes in related to state funding, right, and state decisions. So it's covered, but I think what you're saying, kind of two different things. If you want to understand that process and be involved in that process, I think that's a fine discussion. I'm confident that Mark covered everything in this particular case. And, right, I mean, this is not the first one this year, right? We've got a couple other.
Yeah, we've had other amendments I'm on the second one with the Up Center.
Right.
It didn't deal with necessarily a reconfiguration of the program to the extent that this one does,
right.
But it did make a shift in administrative, in funding for personnel between administrative and program staff.
Right.
That's only a that's less than a $20,000 contract. This contract is $70,000. The authority for staff to do what
right.
we've done actually rests with our standard operating procedures.
And it's also, that's also a motion in the May decision memo. There's a motion
yes.
to continue that authority. So that's
a motion where to put
it's in the May decision memo about allocations of funding. There's also a motion reassigning the authority for any kind of any changes like this. We actually
motion approved.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's considered each year, but I think you're asking you may be asking a slightly different question. Can we look at the process?
Well,
right.
Let me try to.
Yeah.
First of all, I think it's fine to just let's put it on the agenda and have a
yeah.
discussion about how we do these things, as Anne's
yeah.
description of it was perfect from my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a problem with just moving
okay.
forward. But to clarify what I'm thinking about, not all changes to the contract are the same. Some
okay.
changes might, the change you just described, for example, seems in some sense internal management of funds kind of sort of trivial. It doesn't necessarily
mm-hmm.
have programmatic implications.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you know, I was troubled by the fact that they closed the Level 1 Time Center program. I understand there's financial issues. I mean, I don't want to go into, I can't determine what it is that leads people to do what they do. But it was troubling to me. Big organization, can't support that program. Why not? I don't know why not, but we're giving them money for that. And now we're going to give them money for something different. So I just want to know what the ramifications are. It's not about whether or not I think it's okay for you to make those administrative changes. It's about that
okay.
other.
Okay.
It's not about the process. It's actually the issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it agreeable with everyone that we put this item on an agenda for either the next October or November meetings, depending on what else is on the agenda? Would you like us to do that? You're kind
yes.
of scowling a little. It's okay?
Yeah, we're
How about
just
you?
Have a discussion.
Which item? There's
How?
Two.
Right.
I'm confused.
Well, we can do both.
Which one do you want
okay.
to do?
Because
Yeah, we have two things. We have a general process thing, which I think that would be fine to put that on. And then there's the more specific one about the Time Center in specific. Maybe we could use that as a case study. What do you think?
I'm really thinking of the process, that we discuss that.
But right now, there's no action item on the agenda.
And I wasn't calling for an action.
We're just...
I was asking for a clarification, so...
We're just getting informed.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes.
So we don't have to go any further, except to know that we want to have a discussion.
And we will see that that happens, yes.
Well, nobody's proposed that.
Okay.
There's no proposal on the table right now.
That's right.
We proceed.
Yes.
And we talk about it.
We don't always need a motion in order to do something. Okay. Do we?
No.
No. Okay. Chandra, is there something you would like to add to your nice report?
There was an omission. I am working with the Disabilities Resource Expo. And I am working with Becca Obachowski from Community Choices to help coordinate volunteer efforts.
That was in there.
It was in here?
I remember that.
Okay.
I do, too.
I was looking through it, and I didn't see it.
Good for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I did, too.
Okay. The other thing is, in conjunction with what Mark stated, would you all like the fourth quarter reports of the cultural competency plans? So organizations submit them twice per year, the second quarter, and then the fourth quarter wraps up everything. Would you all like a copy of that in next month's report?
Can you do the same thing that Mark's gonna do and do it electronically?
Sure.
You can do that. That would be very nice, very
okay.
helpful.
All right, I will submit it electronically.
And you can read it or not, depending on what you want.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chandra.
You're welcome.
The consultant report, it's in your packet, and I'll just... Barb Bressner is not here, so let's just go along. And if you do have questions about her work and what comes out and so on, we'll figure out. You can find we can help you find a way to get in touch with her. Okay. Board to board reports. Are there any? Yes, Elaine.
Yes, I as usual attended the DSC board meeting, and I will just mention one thing. Brian Hagee, the longtime director of the Prompting Theater, gave a presentation and showed a film that I think some of you have seen. And the Prompting Theater has decided that it wants to go into making movies more than stage shows. And so in addition to writing their scripts and being actors and all the things they've been doing, they are adding technology and learning how to use cameras. And Brian made the point that it's not even adaptive technology is not really needed for some people, say maybe who couldn't, you know, manipulate a camera, because the technology, the cutting edge technology, kind of takes care of all of that. And they've even been approached by other local filmmakers to borrow their equipment. They're so out there because they were looking at ease of manipulation. So they have put one of their films, which we saw at the meeting, in a film competition, and they got nominations, I think three nominations, best actor, best this and that. So they're just doing wonderful work. And when we look at our involvement with arts programs, you know, that's certainly one to be proud of and one to perhaps give other opportunities to.
That's just great. Thank you very much, Elaine. Mm-hmm. Any other board-to-board reports?
I went to the police the combined police meeting on crisis intervention, and Mark was there as usual and gave a great presentation on what he's about to show us, I think, that's in here. So it was quite detailed and informative for people, so that was good.
I'm not an official representative for our First Followers, but it just so happened this Sunday that they showed up at my church and gave a presentation that was just excellent. And they have a bunch of videos that they show and an interview with one of their, I don't want to call them clients, but one of the gentlemen that they're working with who's now getting ready to go to University of Illinois School of Social Work. So they were very, very good, and it was great seeing them.
Better than when they were with us?
Better?
Never mind.
They're learning.
Thanks, Tom. Any others?
I was at Community Choices, and Becca is doing a great job of taking over a big job, and they're working on their chili cook-off in October. She probably has information, but it's a very worthwhile opportunity to see all they're doing.
Great. Any others for having good reports? All right, we'll move ahead then. Next page, agency information. Is there any tonight? Okay, we'll move along then. You've had a chance to review the claims report that Nancy prepared for us. I would like to invite a motion to accept the claims report.
So moved.
Thank you, Tom. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ann. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The report, Nancy, is accepted. New business. Who is going to present?
This is Mark's show. This is a good one.
You're going to be really tired of hearing from me by the end of tonight. Sure.
This is what I just referred to. It's really good and long.
Last year, I prepared a recap of a lot of the work that had been going on related to criminal justice and mental health, particularly with an emphasis on efforts surrounding a detox facility. This follow-up memo has a little broader focus, but as you know, we have a commitment, a matching commitment to a planning grant that the county received and that Rose Grants is administering as a subrecipient. And so that work is going forward. We were given a progress report from Celeste Blodgett, one of the staff members providing support to that under that grant, and that is included in the materials. Also, about a year ago, we had a public dialogue in this room. It was an excellent event. Many of you were there. Some of the notes from that event are actually included in this packet. I may have provided that with you before, but I wanted to include it again here because it kind of kicked off the next year, and that information, you know, it kind of was the point at which I had left off with last year's memo and picked up from there. So I wanted to include it. It also, in some respects, informed our allocation criteria that we had for last November. So in the memo, I discussed some of the proposals that we considered and the continuation of psychiatric services in the community. That was a commitment of new funds at that point. And then the new initiatives, the First Followers being one of those, as well as our investment in Fresh Start and Truce with CUAP, both of those targeted at the gun violence that our community has been experiencing. But then there were some other things that I had been working on and wanted to share with you, and those are included here. At our last board meeting back in June, I had provided an update with our allocations and how they, I guess, could be grouped by various priority areas. And so I've included that spreadsheet again here. It includes the totals as well as the percentages. And one of the things that the board asked for after reviewing that was, well, how does that compare to prior years? So I went back to 2013. 2013 is actually an allocation decision that that was made in May of 2012. So on the chart for 2013, you have basically reflects percentages for those groups, those priority areas, based on 2013. And then what those percentages look like for 2014, 2015, 2016, and 2017. And what you see is over that five-year period, and again, 2012 was the period in which the Institute for Law and Public Policy, Dr. Kalmanoff, was active in the community preparing his report. And then the community, the Champaign County Community Criminal Justice Task Force was also active. They issued their final report in September of 2013. So we have kind of a base year with 2013 before the report is issued. And then in response to some of the recommendations, we have made some adjustments in our allocations and in our priorities. And that is reflected in the top table. You see an increase in criminal justice services over the last 5 years. And then you also see some reduction in investment related to community-based services. Our IDDD investment has remained essentially constant, and that's a reflection of our intergovernmental agreement with the Developmental Disabilities Board. And then we have our system of care for youth and families, previously known as Access Initiative. In the investment there, we have, for a number of years, committed a little over $500,000 to that initiative. And you see some adjustment in 16 and 17, and that's a reflection of our investment in holding funds back related to the intention to hire additional staff. And so then the second table is a breakout specific to within the criminal justice behavioral health priority. And you can see there that most of the juvenile justice, problem-solving courts, and victim support services have essentially remained unchanged, but our investment in adult criminal justice behavioral health services has increased over time. So that includes our increased investment in crisis, our increased investment in the criminal justice program, where we're providing criminal case management at the jail, as well as in the community, as well as some dual diagnosis and other substance use disorder treatment and other evidence-based programs. And then this past year, for 2017, it also includes Fresh Start and the Truce investment, as well as First Followers. So you see, from 2013 to 2017, that for adult criminal justice, there's been an increase of, doubled percentage-wise. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. I have a couple of other documents here. The sequential intercept model This is something that's used quite regularly, and it's something that's being used by the Crisis Response Planning Committee, the DOJ Planning Group, the DOJ Grant Planning Group. You have the five intercepts, intercept one being law enforcement, intercept two being an individual's initial detention and court hearings, intercept three, jails and courts, four, reentry, and five, community corrections. And what I did was I looked through our portfolio of investments and contracts, and then based on my understanding of what those services are providing, associated them with the particular intercepts, listed them by intercept. So you see that list there. And then, while it's not normally done, I also identified our investment in victim support services and what intercepts those are providing supports to victims of crime. And then the next page is, in relation to those intercepts, what the various coordinating bodies are in this community, one of which Dr. Rappaport mentioned earlier, the Crisis Intervention Team Steering Committee, what intercepts they have some responsibility or association with. So, and then the last page of this section is actually a map of the intercept one. This is a draft. It's a working document. It's not anything that's final. It's actually something that we did discuss at the last CIT steering committee meeting to get some additional information. It is a document that will be used by the Crisis Intervention Team Steering Committee, as well as the Crisis Response Planning Committee in their work. The Crisis Response Planning Committee will not only will be using this, but they will be moving along into mapping intercepts 2, 3, 4, and 5. So eventually we will have something similar to this for all five intercepts. And that is, that's gonna be some important information. And as that information comes available, I'll be sure to include that in the information that's shared with the board. I took longer than I'm sure you wanted me to, but I wanted to take some time to get into that because
it's
I felt it was important.
I mean, you
Thank
told
you.
Us what we needed
I don't know if
to
there's
know.
Any questions or if you're not don't care to have a question today for me, you can contact me anytime. I'll be happy to talk about it with you. Yes.
As usual, I have a question.
Oh,
it's not
no.
actually a question. It's
oh, okay.
I wanted to make sure that I understand this properly, and that if I do, then everyone should understand that intercept one and the details of it are quite concerned with what sometimes it would be referred to as diversion from arrest, diversion from the legal system, so that's been a big emphasis for us to pay close attention to, that what we're trying to do is keep the people we're concerned, people with mental health issues, mm-hmm.
Out of the
jails, out of that system. So we don't want them to move on to intercept two. And so
right.
I just wanted to make that clear.
That's an important point, Julian. Thank you.
I did want to add, I do have some data from the criminal justice program related to screenings that have been completed for folks in the jail, and it identifies includes the various needs that the individuals have identified as part of that screening, being it access to mental health services, substance abuse services, assistance with benefits, getting linked to primary care, housing, employment, education. And I appreciate the work that the criminal justice staff put into providing that information to me, and I can share that with the board at a later point.
Okay, thank you. Moving ahead, Mark? Tom, sure.
So, Julian, are you suggesting that on page 52, where the chart is, with the five intercepts,
uh-huh.
So under that first, under intercept one, would there be a line from that second box down and that would say diversion?
So I'll ask Mark to clarify this, but I think if you only look at those five, that chart, you don't get the feeling that I was just talking about. But if you flip over here to see the details of intercept one on the next page, you get a much better picture of how it contributes to diversion. So it's sort of like you got to look in deeper. That's actually what I wanted to point out, if that makes sense.
Okay. Is there... okay.
This is a great report.
Oh, I see you've got some water. Okay.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you want to tell us briefly about?
This is the draft three-year plan I prepared. It's kind of an environmental scan. One of the main thrusts of it, as it was last year, is the state budget continues to cause a lot of difficulty for service providers in the community and the system as a whole. And then following that, the memo is the draft three-year plan. It is a draft. It will be sent out and for comment, public comment. It will be made available for public comment. And the plan eventually will be brought back to the board in November. If the board has any comments or questions, I'm happy to field those anytime between now and our November board meeting, as well as from the community, be it the provider network or the consumers or any other interested party. In reviewing the plan itself, I will say that we were very aggressive in what we put forth last year. And so there are some changes that are made to the document, but a lot of things are also carried forward. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Mark. So please read it carefully and write down your questions or remember them or something like that, and we'll talk about them at our next meeting. Or do you...
If you want to send me your comments or call me, I'd appreciate that. You probably won't see the plan itself again until November. Mm-hmm. If the board would like to have it on the agenda for the October meeting, we can do that. But I think from what I've seen on the executive director's whiteboard, we've got quite
I need to erase some items.
Yeah, we've got a number of other things that will be coming back.
Okay.
That we've already got on the schedule.
So do contact Mark if you do see places that you would recommend changes. Okay. Thank you very much. Now, we move ahead to the draft meeting schedule. I don't know who put that together, but I do thank them for it, because it took, I'm sure, some doing in figuring out conflicts and all that stuff. So
this is based on the...
Mark did this too. It is based on the formula for when the meetings are set. So it really is subject to change. As if people are not available for a meeting and we need to cancel it, we can do that. But the purpose of this is to show you when we intend to accomplish particular steps in the allocation process. And this is the tradition. So if, you know, it also could change.
Thank you, Lynn. Yes, we do change as we go along if we need to. No problem. Moving ahead, the old business, the SILA update. I don't know who's going to present that.
I didn't bring it with me, but I had a response from the provider that was probably more detail than I should share. Anyway, it was really focused on people signing up for recreational activities, and they were really kind of neat stuff. There's some horse therapy and volunteer work at Salt and Light and Salvation Army and park district activities, special rec and regular park district, and also U of I best buddies. So that was the focus of it. I think we also, we have two homes so far. We have, there's enough money to purchase another home, but we would have to be careful about it and not a home that needed renovations. There are three people in each house. I think a fourth person can be added to one of the houses. They're split women and men because that's the way the provider is comfortable delivering services. And one of the homes is completely accessible. That's one of the reasons it took a while to open. I think people seem to be getting along pretty well. They actually have the same staffing crisis that all the other providers in this community and in Illinois and across the country have, that direct support staff are hard to keep. And maybe find in the first place.
Thank you. Other business. I would like to invite a motion, please. It would be important to read it as it is printed in our agenda.
I'll make that motion for you, Deb.
Thank you, Tom.
I move the Champaign County Mental Health Board move into a closed session pursuant to 5 ILCS C1 to consider the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, or performance of specific employees of the CCMHB and the CCDDB, and to specifically review the draft job description and contract of the executive director. The closed session shall include members of the Champaign County Mental Health Board and Ms. Deb Roush of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board, and will not include any staff.
Thank you, Tom. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Julian. Any discussion? Well, I guess this doesn't get discussed. All in favor, please say aye.
Roll call.
It's a roll call. I should remember that from last month. Mark?
This was mentioned, before I call the roll, there's an asterisk on this motion or on this agenda item. I just want to be clear that it doesn't reflect that there's action occurring within the session, that just there, it just required a motion to enter into the closed session. Okay. I want
so
to be clear about that.
The action refers to this motion.
Yes.
That we're now considering.
Yes. Okay. So with that, I will, Margaret White? Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes. Okay. I believe the Putnam Room is available to us. And thanks for coming, everybody. Yeah. Come again next month.
Mark, you did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
You've been working hard, but you look good.
Oh, thanks.
You look better than the last time I saw you.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Are you going home, Miss Nancy?
No.
You and Mark hanging out?
Yeah.
We are. We're hanging out. So it'll take too long.
Everything's been going
pretty well. Yeah, I sent Deb Roush a bunch of explanations today because there seemed to be a lot of confusion about benefits and things.
Uh-huh.
So she has a printout of an explanation. But if there's anything else that you guys need, let me know.
Okay.
You can always text me.
Are you back?
No. Nope, can't do anything. Can't do anything. Somebody's got to give the okay.
Yeah.